Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from India, Mr. Ramendra Kumar. Ramendra, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be on this show.
Thank you. Ramendra is an award-winning writer, storyteller, and an inspirational speaker. He's an author of 47 books, which have been translated into 16 Indian and 14 foreign languages. He's worked with the Steel Authority of India. He's a cancer survivor, and we'll talk about his journey as a cancer survivor. And he's been recognized, awarded, and felicitated several times. So Ramendra, let's start by asking you to tell me about your own amazing journey and some of your health challenges.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I would you want me to talk about the cancer journey or my journey as a writer or both?
You tell me both, and then we'll come to your writing and your cancer.
Okay. So I started my writing journey. It was a very interesting, you know, anecdote. Mm-hmm. I was just around 7 when I wrote my first poem, and it was possibly the worst poem ever written by anybody. Mm-hmm. It went something like this. Topsy and Tim went for a swim. Topsy swam well and broke the spell. Mm-hmm. Tim swam badly and went home sadly. What a sad, pathetic piece of verse.
Wonderful.
But the poet in me was really, really inspired, you know, and I scribbled it down and took it to my dad. Mm-hmm. So I was slightly apprehensive. You know, he might say that, what is this? You're not studying science like Putul aunty's daughter or studying maths like Chadda uncle's son. Mm-hmm. If you do maths and science, your brain will develop like this. Mm-hmm. But he didn't do any of these things, you know. Mm-hmm. He just picked me up, mm-hmm. gave me a tight hug, mm-hmm. and said one word, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And if today I'm a writer of 47 books, 30 languages in which they've been translated and blah, 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 it is because of that one word and that beautiful gesture.
Correct. Correct. How wonderful. And after that one poem, how did your journey as a writer begin?
So I dabbled a little bit here and there, but when I was in College of Engineering, I was least bit interested in engineering. It was more serendipity that I got into, you know, a technical line. So I concentrated a little bit on writing satire. Mm. Yeah. And after I joined Rourkela Steel Plant as a management trainee, I continued with satire. And around 95, when my daughter Ankita was 4 years old and my son Aniket had just happened. Mm. So my wife, who also worked in the same steel plant as I, her hands were full, you know. So she gave me a lot of encouragement and motivation. She said, you're such a useless fellow. Mm. You know, you can't sing lullabies. You can't boil an egg. Mm. You can't run a dishwasher. You can't operate a washing machine. You think you're a great writer, no? Mm. So why don't you tell stories to Ankita while I take care of Aniket?
Okay.
Now, this was a challenge, you know. And you, I'm sure, would know that if your wife throws a challenge, there is no alternative but to pick up the gauntlet.
Correct.
So I said, okay, I'll tell my daughter stories. Mm. But the ego is that I am. I said, why Katha Sarita Sagar? Why Panchatantra? Why Tenali Raman? Let me cook up my own little tales. Mm. So I started telling her little stories and she lapped them up. I'm not very sure whether it was the content or my antics of jumping around. You know, I'm a terrible singer and a great dancer. Mm. So, but anyway, the stories which she liked went to the word processor, from there to the editor, and that's how I became a children's writer. So that was a paradigm shift from writing satire to children's fiction. And then I found this this journey into children's fiction the most rewarding one, because my son also became a part of my audience. Mm. It doubled now. And I would tell them stories every night, and every day or every night a different story. So those long winter nights, those summer twilights, and those rainy afternoons, my kids and I would sit together and create a world of wonder, magic, you know, mystery about, dwarves and gnomes and giants and princes and princesses, and get lost completely. But if you ask me even now, those are easily the most memorable moments of my life.
So if you have a short story, do you want to narrate it for our audience?
I don't think I have that short a story. Okay. I don't know how much time we have. But if we have time left, I would like to definitely end the conversation with a story.
Okay, wonderful. So when you talk about writers, a question that has often been asked from me, and I'm going to ask it from you, because I've written only 9 books, you've written 47. Are writers born or can they be trained?
This question which I have always been asked, and my answer I'm sure is going to be controversial. I believe the spark should be there. Writers are born, but the skills can be honed. But you can't have a 6-week writing course on creative writing to make you a writer. At best, they can be tweaked. Your skills, your art and craft of writing can be honed, but writers are born, not made.
Wonderful. And have you experienced what's called the dreaded writer's block? And if yes, how did you overcome it?
Yeah, so though I'm a blockhead, but I have never experienced writer's block for one simple reason. I write across genres, you know, from books for, you know, tiny tots, like 3-year-olds, 2 grown-ups. I've written in all categories. I've written fiction. I've written sports fiction in particular. I've written fantasy, folk tales, fables. I've written graphic novels on the POXO Act, the Juvenile Justice Act. I've written biographies, then satire, humor, poetry, and even gazelles. So whenever I get bored in writing in one particular category, I shift to another genre. Wonderful. And the work, you know, it continues. So the writer's block and I somehow have never actually met.
Fantastic. And do you write sequentially, or do you have more than one book that you're working on together?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I've never been asked this. But yeah, actually 2-3 ideas keep, festering, if I may use the word, a negative word, of course, in my, what I call my head. So I keep shifting, you know, like right now I'm working on the autobiography of mine, just adding the finishing touches. I'm also working on a novel for teenagers, and I'm writing some stories for, you know, picture book stories, you know. So what happens is the ideas, they come to me and they keep, rambling in my head. And whenever I get a chance, I go to the word processor and type them out. So fortunately, I've been blessed with my father and the Almighty that I can keep these ideas in my head for weeks, sometimes months, and a couple of times even years. A story I thought of in 1986, I wrote it in 1998, with exactly the same characters, the same setting, and the same plot.
Amazing. And given the fact that you've written on so many different genres and so prolific you are in writing, any advice for aspiring writers?
Yeah, my advice would be, first and foremost, make writing your passion, your ikigai. Secondly, see, writing is all about ideas, you know, so you should be in that space of creativity and those sparks which are around you, you know, try to accept them. And whenever you get the time, write it down. Nowadays, of course, this generation has got a cell phone. So if you have an idea, record it. And when you have the leisure, the inclination and the time, go back and just write them down. Then never ever fear rejection. Even after my 47 books, the 48th one when I send, that apprehension is there. Suppose it gets rejected, I just pity the intellect of the editor or the publisher and send it to somebody else. Because everybody from Rowling to Ramendra has faced rejection. But it's a part and parcel of one's writing journey. Then writing is also about imagination, observation, and experience. So the more you fine-tune or tweak these aspects, the better you'll be as a writer.
Very interesting. So, Ramendra, let's move to your battle with the dreaded C word. Let me start by asking you, how did you feel when you were first told that you had cancer?
So let me give you a A slight bit of flashback, Ashutosh. My wife and I were working in Rourkela State Plant as general managers. We decided to take voluntary retirement to pursue our respective hobbies. My hobby, as you know, is writing and storytelling. And my wife's main hobby is to correcting me, you know, which is a work in process. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we shifted to Bangalore where our kids were. And for the first 10 months, you know, we shifted on January 29th until November 29th. It was a blast. Mm-hmm. Storytelling sessions, creative writing workshops, two books of mine were released, and I was having a blast. Then suddenly on November 29th, I had some issues. You know, so I had gone to a gastroenterologist. And he told me, like, he was reading from a railway timetable, "Mr. Kumar, you've got cancer, second stage, and your, you know, colon is as infested with the polyps as they are criminals in UP politics." So, and your lifestyle is going to change. Now you're going to have to undergo radiation, chemo, surgery. You'll have to carry a stoma bag. I didn't know what the hell a stoma bag was. So when this verdict was delivered by the doctor in a very pan-faced style, poker-faced style, I went to the canteen in the hospital, and with my family, my wife Madhavi, my daughter Ankita, and my son Aniket were sitting in front of me. And then I started raving and ranting. Why me? How come me? Poor me. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I exercise regularly, I'm slim and trim. Then how come this scourge has caught me? So then as I raved and ranted, there was anger, there was frustration, Ashutosh, there was agony, there was angst. And then suddenly when I looked at the faces of my family, I found them simply crumple. It was as if they were seeing my own death in my own eyes. At that moment, I decided I couldn't subject them to this torture, and the narrative had to shift. I had to undergo, I had to indulge in a paradigm shift. I have always battled the toughest of odds, you know, and I've had a very, if I may use the word, terrible childhood. I'm a suicide survivor at the age of 15. At the age of 16, my mother, she actually eloped with a young man, 20 years her junior. And you can imagine 1977, if a middle-class housewife indulges in this, you know, the shit really hit the ceiling. And then I suffer from a condition called brittle diabetes, where the readings jump from hyper to hypo and the other way around. I also suffer from silent thyroiditis. I had a condition which may be loosely described as something called hemangioma, where my vocal cords were being suppressed by a polyp. And I was really losing my voice. So I battled all these scourges with my exclusive mantra of managing every tumor with humor. So I decided when faced with cancer, I had to go back to this mantra of mine.
Correct.
And make sure that I, as a writer, as a storyteller, as an inspirational speaker, my response is completely, completely different. I'm not going to go down. I'm going to fight it out. So I was in my condition, if I may sum up, it was like I survived three septic shocks. The probability of survival of one septic shock, Ashutosh, is only 20 to 30%. So on three occasions, I went and knocked on the door of death, shook hands with Yamraj and walked back.
Fantastic.
I survived four surgeries, four major surgeries. I was in, I went through 10 rounds of chemo. My hair has come back and 5 rounds of radiation. I was in the ICU for 40 days. And through this entire journey, I was, you know, I tried my best to be as upbeat as possible, but it's really, really, very difficult.
It is.
2 days after my radiation, I and Ankita put up a dance video, you know, talking about my cancer fight. A week after my radiation, I interviewed Sam Petruda, the father of C. Dot Revolution. Remember him on online, and I filled the social media with the fun-filled messages, parodies. You know, Amitabh Bachchan's "Aaj to bahut khush hoge tum," "Mayor meri tanhai," "Mayor mera cancer aksar baatein karte hain," and all that. So that's how my initial journey was.
Fantastic. And you told me just now that your family's first reaction was that they were aghast. But
absolutely,
families always rally around to support. How did your family react after that first initial shock in the coffee shop and support you?
So they were around me always. And let me tell you one incident which looks straight out of a 70s Bollywood thriller, masala movie, on 16th April, the doctors found that I had suffered my first septic shock.
Mm-hmm.
My BP levels had slipped to 55,
mm-hmm.
and they were not going up despite the strongest meds mm-hmm. known to anybody in India.
Mm-hmm.
And, they had given me up. So they called my family and they told them that you get into the ICU, have a look at him. He doesn't have many hours left.
Mm-hmm.
So Ankita, Madhvi and Aniket, they walked in. I was lying down. There was that ventilator and my palms had started turning blue. I was completely unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, I don't know what got into her. She put her hand on my palm, on my forehead, and then she started talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Papa, you can't do this. You can't go away like this. You always told me it's the mind over the body. And this is the time for you
mm-hmm.
to prove that. You've always been a fighter. You fought against the toughest of odds and emerged victorious. You are my inspiration. You are the inspiration for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
You have your friends, you have your followers, you have your fans, you have your family. We are all rooting for you. You just can't give up. And as she was talking, my son, who's the most practical of the lot, he said, he can't even hear you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying? So she said, I don't care. I'm going to do my little bit. And she went on talking. And believe me, Ashutosh, it's such an incredible, situation that straight out of a Bollywood movie,
mm-hmm.
the hero, the protagonist is lying on the bed, the family around him, and they are invoking God or they're invoking some power. And in real life, the patient actually starts responding and he gets up and says, "My kahun."
Mm-hmm.
But this was real life. It was not celluloid. And yet, as my family wondered, they stood there awestruck. The BP levels actually started rising from 55 bit by bit, and every little milestone was cheered by my family. Aniket and Madhvi also came into the picture and they started cheering me up. And when the BP rose to 117,
amazing.
And then it hovered between 117 and 124, the doctors appeared and then they took me for a surgery. Now, when I asked about this situation to a retired professor of psychiatry in Nimhans and said, how do you explain this?
Mm.
So he said, the allopathy doctors, the Unani doctors, the Ayurvedic doctors might not agree. But let me tell you, there is some power. There is something called faith.
Mm.
There is something called energy, which cannot be defined by science.
Correct.
And there was at that moment some energy which connected you and your daughter. And that's how you could surmount this almost impossible barrier and come out of a situation which was as parallel to death as possible. In fact, one doctor told my wife that Ramin's condition was like he had got into an accident, a very serious accident, and walked into another accident on the same day. And when later I asked him what my condition was on a scale of 1 to 10, he said, "Ramin, your condition was 12, as complex as 12 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Amazing. So one more question, and then I'm going to come to ask you about a story that I want you to narrate. When it comes to cancer, why is it that people don't want to talk about it? I know so many people, and I've lost two very, very dear people to cancer. My youngest brother, we lost him 10 years ago to colon cancer in America.
I'm so sorry.
Why is it that people don't want to talk about cancer?
I think it's because of the word is associated with the death and dying. The media, Bollywood, Hollywood, and the general, our society has made this out to be a kind of a scourge, the big C you call it, And people, when they hear the word, they are half dead. And let me just add that when this thing hit me, instead of crumbling, or crumpling, I started going, like I said, on social media and all that. And the response from my friends, and if I may call them followers, you know, immodestly, was really amazing. You know, there was a doctor who, you know, told me that this is the kind of response we want from cancer survivors, or rather cancer warriors. There was one person who said that, you know, my dad suffered from some kind of a disease of the artery. He wasn't getting up. But when he saw your video with your daughter, he made an attempt and he actually walked. Now tell me, how heartwarming is that? I've been compared to Rafael Nadal during the abdomen, during the Wimbledon when he suffered from the injury in his abdomen. I've been compared to Rajesh Khanna of Anand. So what happens is, I believe that if you create an ecosystem of positivity, the entire universe, you know, comes together to offer you succor, solace, and strength. So that first step has to be taken by the individual, and then the family and friends come around you. So you have to create that optimism, and you have to make sure that you fight it out, you know, on a day-to-day basis and live in the present moment. So for me, I know with this optimism, I'm not going to live for 104 years, Ashutosh, but every day which I live will be more quality filled, more filled with joy and happiness. What should I say? Every moment would be worth cherishing, because I know my time might be up any moment. But if I start thinking about it, I'll die a death every single moment.
Absolutely. What a positive frame of mind you are in. Thank you for sharing this. But now we've got a few minutes, so I want you to talk about one of your stories for children.
Okay. So this story I told, I thought of as we were waiting in the room of a dentist, you know, in the waiting room of a dentist. My kids and I, my son was around 6 and my daughter was 10, and they started badgering me for a story. So I thought of this tale, you know. It's a story about two friends, friends right then, you know, a mongoose and a snake. They were the best of friends and all that. And they shared their meals, they played together, and they lived in one corner of an island. So one day they were told that in another island, there is the longest tail competition which is going to happen, which is being conducted by the king, who's an elephant, who's called Gajraj. So Sarpu, the snake, and Mongu, the mongoose, decide to participate in that competition. And how would they do it? The snake suggested that, mongoose, I will take your tail in my mouth. And so everybody would think that my entire body is an extension of your tail. And definitely our tail would be the longest. So they go there and they participate. So they have to stand on sit on a rock, and the tails are hanging down. And Gajraj, the elephant, starts measuring with this trunk. So some tail is 2 trunks, some tail is 3 trunks, the langoose tail is 3.5 trunks. And finally, he comes to this creature called mongoose, who he's never seen or heard of. And his trunk is, his tail is 5 trunks long. So he's declared the winner of the longest tail contest. And there is a huge feast. So the mongoose goes and starts hogging whatever delicacies are there in store, you know. And the snake, who's still, you know, attached to the mongoose's tail, he now starts feeling very, very hungry, and he keeps cursing the mongoose. And then he gets an idea. He thinks, let me detach myself and quietly go and eat something, you know. So he starts moving towards the corner, and as he's about to gobble up a delicacy, he finds a huge foot on his tip. The snake finds a huge foot on the tip of its tail, and he looks up and he finds the Gajraj hanging. In his trunk, the mongoose is hanging, and Gajraj is shouting with, rage that, you cheaters, you know, you have tricked me. You are actually 2 creatures, not one. And you are cheaters, and I can't stand cheaters. So he beats them up and he throws them away, in one corner. So limping and, injured and anguished, these two come to their island, and they start fighting among themselves. The mongoose blames the snake for being greedy, and the snake shouts back that, I'm greedy. We're the first guy who was hogging. And they trade insults and all, and they fight and claw and bite each other to death. And that is the reason, till today, the mongoose and the snake cannot see eye to eye or even tail to tail.
What an amazing story. Thank you so much. Ramendra, on that note, thank you so much for talking to me about your incredible story. Thank you for talking to me about your story as an author. It is so amazing, and I'm sure my viewers and listeners will just love so many different thoughts you gave on writing and your advice for aspiring writers. Thank you for sharing with me your own health issues and some of your own very, very personal stories. Thank you for talking to me about cancer, how you coped with it. And I was amazed at how much positivity you had inside you. Full marks or kudos to your daughter, your son, and your wife for standing by you during such a difficult time. And thank you for your story. I finally now understood why the mongoose and the snake are always fighting with one another. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Namaskar.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.